Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Patrick takes the direct snap. Here's a blitz. He hits, spins away, cut down, however, by the second man who came through.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
What is that, a burp?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Right away, call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Of course, you can check in all your emails on web radio at Patriots.com. Also got my Facebook page going on today if you want to feel more comfortable doing that. I will try to get to as many emails as possible, but I encourage you to do it web radio at Patriots.com. And what a show we have lined up for you today. Thanks to producer Jason D, who did a fantastic job today. At 4:15 coming up from Finn's Insider Radio, we've got Jesse Agler coming up at 4:15. How about this? ESPN's Adam Schefter coming up at 4:45. And then at 5:30, NFL Network's Vic Carucci will join us as well. So we're going to get the breakdown, everything. We're going to talk a lot, obviously, about the Patriots and Buffalo Bills. I think a very, very intriguing matchup coming up on Monday night in Miami against the Dolphins. And Monday Night Football, that's right. Monday Night Football, where the Patriots, by the way, all time in Miami are 11-33. And I got some other Monday night stats here. I'll get to those a little bit later on. By the way, Patriots Dolphins have played 14 times in prime time, 13 in Miami. Pats 4-5 versus Miami on Monday night, 3-5 in Miami. Brady 10-6 versus Miami. Patriots 10-5 in their last 15 against Miami. And five of the last six times they seasons they played, the teams have split both games. Last year, of course, the Patriots won 27-17 in Foxborough, then lost that pathetic, pathetic debacle down there. All they needed was a first down. All they needed was a first down to win the game, and couldn't get it. Then they lose 22-21. That could have been the worst loss of the year. Really, really horrible. Anyway, Patriots beat the Bills 38-30. I know, I get it. All you know, since Sunday, thousands of emails on Facebook, or hundreds at least. And the talk, of course, is how pathetic is the defense. They can't win. They can't do this. They can't do that. I understand. Very frustrating. Are some of these problems fixable is what I want to know. I think some of them are. And let's just get right down to it. Because a couple days after the game, you guys pretty much know what happened. Sometimes I think we have a tendency to really, really overreact on the defense. Some of that I think possibly has come into play here. Remember, the defense gave up 23 points, okay? The special teams gave up one touchdown. So it's 23 points. Defense gave up a couple of touchdowns and three field goals. Now, I know it's very easy all the time to pick on the cornerbacks. It's the cornerback's fault. You know, Butler was horrible, only played four plays. You know, Arrington came in, didn't do the job all that well. To me, for the most part, okay, guys are going to get open in the secondary sometimes. I mean, especially third and long. To me, I don't understand how this team, for the last couple of years, has done so well on third down situations when it's third and five, third and short. It is unbelievable how many times they stop the other team. And then when it's third and 10 or more, it is amazing to me, even more amazing, how this team lets up first down yardage. It really is. But I got to tell you, what I saw on Sunday for the most part, and two guys that frustrated me the most on defense, I got to tell you, were Sanders and Merriweather. Forget the interceptions at the end. I'm talking about poor tackling and Banta Kane as well in some spots. But Sanders and Merriweather, I got to tell you, they're in position, it seems, to make some of these plays. I'm watching the game again the other night. They're in position to stop these guys or have 1 or 2 yard gains instead of the 8 or 9, 10, 11, 12 yards that they've been getting at times. I just think it's piss poor tackling, to be honest with you. A lot of it is. So I think that kind of stuff is correctable. I think McCourty, you know, had a pretty decent game. No, he really did. Could burn one play, but I think overall he had a pretty decent game. I think it's really easy just to blame the entire secondary. Of course, we're going to talk about, you know, the pass rush, which is going to be an ongoing conversation. You know that, obviously, if you can't get a consistent pass rush, that makes the secondary have to much more pressure on the secondary. And, you know, this is a young secondary. It's learning. I think Chung, you know, had had a pretty good game. Still continues to be a pretty good tackler. Again, late getting over on some plays, helping out, but you know, that's going to happen. I can live with that because I'm telling you, I can remember, you know, when Asante Samuel was here, I can remember other defensive players over the years, first, second year players on this team, even in the Belichick era. I mean, you got to give it a little bit of time here, folks. It is only week three. You can't just pile on. How many people thought Dallas was going to kill Houston the way they blew them out the other day? I mean, and they really manhandled them. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. That score could have been a lot worse. You just don't know. It's week three. Some teams are desperate. You know, you look at the league right now. I mean, the Bears are 3-0. The Bears, have you ever, I mean, that game last night, are you kidding me? The Packers had as many penalty flags as they did points. They should have won that game by 20 last night, the Packers.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
Yeah, they were. The Bears did not deserve to win that game last night, but they did. So, I mean, the NFL, it's a funny league. And that's why I say all the time, just don't go crazy. Week 9 or 10 is when you're really going to start to know. Everybody thinks just because the Patriots defense is playing the way it is right now, and I'm not saying you're wrong. Maybe it is indicative. Maybe they will have to win 38-30 every single week in order to win games. All I'm saying is, another example, perfect example, Monday night, did anybody and their mommy think that the Jets and Miami Dolphins were going to play that kind of a, you know, high-scoring type of game? I didn't. No way would I ever think that 54 points would be scored total in that game. But there were. Where was the great Jets and Miami defenses then? They were getting picked apart. And to me, Tony Sperano blew that game for them by going to the Wildcat more than he should have because Henny was picking the Jets apart in a lot of situations. So, I mean, it's a crazy league. It's crazy. I just don't think you can get carried away from one week to the next just by certain scores. Now, look, I'm with you guys and girls for most of this, okay? The Patriots may indeed have to score 30-plus points to win every game, but they might not after week 7 or 8. You don't know. You think back to 2001 when this team started off at 5-5 and didn't lose a game the rest of the way. So we'll see. Right now they're 2-1. They have arguably, you know, in week 4, the biggest game of the year coming up in Miami on Monday night. It's going to be a very tough game. I have no idea what to expect. I think the offense will put up points. No question about it. Can they stop anybody? Will be the question again. The last year down there, they did a pretty good job for three quarters. I think they had a 21-10 lead before Henny picked them apart at the end. And there was the Pats still had a chance to win that game down there and blew it. All he needed was a first down and had to punt the ball away, if you remember correctly, again. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I can't wait for that game. I'm even giving up poker that night to play, to watch that game. I'm not going to miss any Patriot game that's live. And I can't wait. That's going to be an interesting game. All right, now let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline. By the way, call the number later on, 508-543-7482. And let's check in with the FinInsiders.com voice. Jesse Agler joining us here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
Good, Pete. What's going on?
Not much. Well, let me start with we'll break down the Patriots and Miami Dolphins coming up in just a second here. But I want to ask you, were you surprised? What surprised you the most about what happened with the Dolphins and the Jets game on Sunday night?
Well, I think after the first two games of the season, the Buffalo and Minnesota games, we were sort of conditioned to expect 1970s football out of the Dolphins. Just run, 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 and play defense. They came out throwing, and it was a high-scoring game. And it's funny because we've obviously spent a lot of time talking about that the last couple of days and listening to what the coach, Tony Sperano, has been saying and sort of reading between the lines and kind of knowing what we know about the Patriots and the way they played last week. I'm thinking it's going to be more of the same on Monday night, another more of a high-scoring affair. But that was definitely the surprise coming out of this one. I mean, Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams combined to carry the ball just 18 times. Chad Henne threw 44 pass attempts, a career high in yardage for him. So we hadn't expected the gunslinging, but now we think, okay, that's in the repertoire. We know it's there.
All right, how about let's talk about Tony Sperano for a second here. Did you think he went to the Wildcat too much at times, especially in the second half when Henne looked like he was ready to explode?
I mean, that's always the criticism of the Wildcat from everybody down here. That, you know, a lot of people feel like it's a real momentum killer. Obviously, Henny was on a roll, arguably the best game of his career from a pure passing standpoint. Here's the thing with the Wildcats. Tony Sperano has said it many times. He told us on our show yesterday afternoon. He sees it really as nothing other than a way to run the football in a powerful way. And if he can pick up 3 or 4 yards of carry on a Wildcat play, he's okay with that. I don't think you hear criticisms of team telling or you know, taking quarterbacks out of a rhythm when they run the ball successfully. This is just another way for them to run the ball. They don't really look at it as a gimmick. They don't look at it as anything crazy and out of the ordinary. To them, it's no different than handing the ball off. And that's really their perspective on it. That's the way they see it. So, you know, are you going to be like, oh, you know, they handed it off to Ronnie Brown too many times? No. So I guess that's kind of where this falls. Okay, you didn't run the Wildcat too many times then.
All right, Jason, let's talk about Chad Henne for a second. Thought he played a pretty good game, actually better than a pretty good game, obviously, on Sunday night. I thought he played well enough to win in certain spots. But, you know, how he's developed faster than you thought, not as fast as you thought over the last, year and a half. I mean, from what we've seen against the Patriots, he's been pretty decent, especially the second half of the last game last year. Not the first game so much, but the last game he was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm one of these guys just personally. I mean, I think it's a 3-4 year thing for most quarterbacks, you know, to really develop any kind of, you know, true consistency, and we sort of know what they are. What we have seen out of Chad Henne, and you just made this point perfectly, are kind of bursts, you know, great bursts. And whether it's an isolated game or an isolated half, we know the tools are there. We know he's got the ability to go off and have a 300, 400-yard passing day, but it's not a consistent thing yet. And I think the coaches are still trying to figure him out a little bit, maybe baby him just a bit, bring him along a little bit slowly. They don't want to wreck his confidence. You know, this team, more than others, I think it's fair to say, hates turning the ball over, so they do tend to play it safe sometimes, it seems. But, you know, I think we've seen flashes, like I said, and it's okay. We get an idea of where Chad Henne could be, but he's not there yet. I wouldn't call the development slow. I'd say it's pretty normal, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And let's talk about this game coming up on Monday night. Now, we all remember a couple years ago when the Patriots hosted Miami in the, here in Foxborough, and the Dolphins surprised the hell out of them with that Wildcat. Since then, the two games since then, even though they split those two games, Patriots probably should have won both, but they split those two games. Patriots did a pretty good job of controlling the Wildcat. That wasn't really the reason why they lost, down in Miami last December. I think it was December 6th, but again, with this defense, the way it's playing now and the way it's a young secondary, you know, the Dolphins may be able to exploit some things again on this Patriots defense that they may not have been able to do last year. And plus, the Patriots were so, you know, ready for it. But I just think now with the addition of Brandon Marshall, who's, you know, an incredible yak guy, yards after catch guy, I think the Wildcat can pose more problems for the Patriots this year.
It's interesting, Pete. I mean, Marshall obviously is a huge addition. They actually introduced him into the Wildcat for the first time this season on Sunday. We saw him run the ball a couple of times out of that formation. Like I said earlier, I get the feeling, and what do I know, but I get the feeling that the game coming up on Monday night will be for the Dolphins, much like the Jet game was on Sunday night. I think they feel like they're probably going to be able to throw, and maybe they'll be able to set up the run a little bit more if the Pats have to drop some guys into coverage. I mean, against the Jets, Rex Ryan was sending guys most of the afternoon or most of the evening on defense. At the very end, when the Jets essentially made what was a goal line type stand, they actually dropped eight into coverage that entire situation there, and that seemed to confuse Henne a little bit. But if the Patriots, you know, in a normal flow of the game, have to drop more guys into coverage because Henne is carving them up a little bit, maybe that would be the opportunity to really set the Wildcat off. But I think the Dolphins are going to come out throwing again. I really do.
Well, I would. I certainly would. If you watch film of the Patriots, there's no reason why you wouldn't. I mean, especially what's amazing to me about the Patriots is they are so much better in third and short than third and long. It's just usually the opposite for most teams. They can't stop anybody at third and 10 or third and 15. It's amazing the last year and a half what that's been like. So the Dolphins may be in a good position here. However, on the flip side of that, let's talk about the Patriots offense versus the defense of the Dolphins. I want to touch on, you know, Channing Crowder, who I believe, is he supposed to come back this week after that knee injury last week?
They're not saying anything. He hasn't played in a game since, like, the second preseason game. Mm-hmm. That's when he went out. Last week he practiced on a limited basis, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He wasn't active against the Jets. When they come back to practice tomorrow, I would bet he works, you know, fully, and I would expect to see him, but they have yet to say a word about it.
See, the one matchup I really like here for the Patriots is going up against, Jeremiah Bell and Chris Clemens, and basically the tight ends. Hernandez and Gronkowski so far have been dominant. No one's been able to stop them, really. And not that the Patriots can stop Fasano either, because this could be a battle of the tight ends on Monday night. Whichever ones win the battle may win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it on my show sheet. We're going on the air at 5 o'clock, and all I'm going to talk about, I feel like, are those two guys, you know, Hernandez and Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. And it's been an issue for the Dolphins, even dating back to last season, having trouble covering the tight end. Now, I will say this. Against Minnesota, Vasante Shenko had a huge first half. They shut him out in the second half. Same kind of thing with Dustin Keller. Granted, the damage was done. He scored two touchdowns. He softened up a lot of different things, but he didn't have a catch in the second half on Sunday night. You're going up against two other really good tight ends. And you said it's not just the safeties, you know, Bell and Clemens. Bell is responsible for covering the tight end a lot. They tried some double coverage on Keller the other night with Bobby Carpenter. That didn't seem to work. Hopefully Bobby Carpenter, from a Dolphin perspective, is replaced by Channing Crowder, and maybe that changes things a little bit. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Those are the two guys that everyone's going to be talking about this week because the Dolphins have had trouble with the tight end, and both those guys have been awesome, as you know.
And most of the league knows about Vontae Davis becoming quite the playmaker at cornerback. But what about Jason Allen? You making the transition pretty good from safety to CB?
Well, you know, he's been back and forth like a half dozen times in his career. It's unbelievable. Mm. And after 2 weeks, if you would have asked me this question, I would have told you that Jason Allen was the biggest story in the National Football League this year. He played so well against Buffalo and Minnesota, and it was like, wow, maybe the light bulb just finally went on for this guy.
Yeah, but you just said it right there. Buffalo, Minnesota is not the Patriots' offense. That's the problem.
Exactly. And even against the Jets, he struggled. He gave up the big 67-yarder to Braylon Edwards on the sideline. You know, it was a slip and fall. You could say it could happen to anybody, but he was picked on. He had another big pass interference in the end zone that helped the Jets set up for another big score late in the fourth quarter the other night. He didn't have a very good game, and I don't think that's being unfair, and I think he would tell you he didn't have a very good game. And like you said, Buffalo, Minnesota, very different. Even the Jets are different than what they're going to have to face this week between Moss, Welker, and the tight ends. I mean, we know New England likes to spread the field out and chuck the ball. So it'll be a very, very good test for him, and I think maybe we'll have a very good idea of where he stands and maybe where his progress is after this game on Monday night.
I think this is going to be one of the most entertaining games of the year. I mean, again, like you, what do I know? But I'm looking at 35-30. I'm not even going to say who's going to win the game. I probably might pick the Patriots because everybody on the planet seems to be picking Miami for this game, including everybody in Patriots Football Weekly and a lot of local writers from the Herald to the Providence Journal and Globe. And because of that, I may just think they're full of, you know, hooey and just go the other way anyway. But I don't really know what to expect. I thought that Miami Jet game the other night was supposed to be more like 16-13, very similar to, I'm expecting similar to Baltimore and the Jets on that first opening Monday night game. And there was none of that.
No.
None of that. So, I mean, that's why the National Football League is so great. You just don't know what to expect week to week. You can play it out on paper all you want. You know, you just don't know. Nobody in the right mind would have thought that game would have been as high scoring, I didn't think, as it was on Monday.
Well, it's funny you say that because coming into the game, you know, we were joking about how everyone was predicting it to be, you know, like a 6-2 kind of game, like a baseball score between the two teams. And because of that, I was like, forget it. I'm going the other way. I said, watch. These two teams are going to come out, throw the ball. It's going to end up being a high scoring game. Now coming into New England week, I'm saying, hey, you got to expect the same as last week. New England's secondary is really struggling. They like to throw the ball. The Dolphins look like they can throw the ball, you know, thanks to the other night. You know, expect another shootout kind of game, and it'll end up being 6-3 or something like that. So it sort of seems to be always the way it works. And like you said, that's part of why the NFL is so fun.
All right, Jesse, before I let you go, just give me a prediction anyway. What do you think is going to happen?
I'll stick with my gut, and I'll go high scoring, even though that probably means we're going to end up watching a defensive slugfest. I like the way you were thinking, you know, something in the 35-31 type of range, you know, 35-30 in there. If I had to pick a team to win, I would say I like the Dolphins' opportunity, just because they're playing at home at night, and they're going to be really hungry for a win after the Jet game.
All right, Jesse, thanks so much. And again, you can check, you're at the FinInsiders.com and the Finn Insiders radio show.
There you go, Pete. Thanks a lot.
All right, Jesse, take care. We'll talk to you soon. All right, there it is, Jesse Agler. Nice stuff for him from the Finsiders.com, the Finsiders radio show. I think this is going to be a fascinating game on Monday. I am really looking forward to this, even more so than the Jet game in week two, because, I mean, there was a lot of hype in that one. But now that you know, after 3 weeks and seeing these teams play, I just don't know how anybody can definitively say exactly what to predict. You know, sometimes when you think it's going to be real high scoring, it goes the other way. Everybody thought it was going to be a real low scoring game between the Jets and Miami Sunday night. It ends up being, you know, 31-23, I believe, was the final. So we shall see. Quick break, Jason? Do that? No? Read emails? All right. We'll do that. Again, check us out on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Again, we're going to have Adam Schefter coming up at 445, and Vic Carucci will join us at 530. How about that? Not bad for the second Pete Shepard show. And also, I want to hear from you guys, again, at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And also, I got my Facebook page running up today, like John Rook does previously. and I'll be, if you feel more comfortable checking in that way, we can do that.
It's a couple of jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day.
Melanie says, put your application in for a coordinated position. Now, that's not going to happen. Brian says, let's bring in John Gruden as a defensive coach. He'll sure bring the heat. Well, John was more of an offensive guy, wasn't he? Yeah, that's what I thought. So we'll see. All right, let's check out some emails as well before we get back to talking about this this Patriot-Miami game coming up. And this again, this thing doesn't work right. This computer just doesn't work right. It's not allowing me to punch up your email. So Jason's going to have to come in and, you know, I'm a pretty literate guy when it comes to computers, but I don't know, this thing just doesn't like me. It's like inside radio stuff. I have the little cursor over his name. I'll read this one first while Jason figures it out. All right, Pablo, Mexico City, very nice today. My first Mexico City email. Hey, Pete, let me say that I've never heard about you before, being from outside the U.S., and you sound like a fantastic addition to the Patriots radio lineup. My question is this. Do you see any hope for the Patriots D making a significant improvement as the season goes on? Thanks. Looking forward to your show again. Pablo in Mexico City. Well, Pablo, I think we've seen a very minimal sampling here. It's three games. I know the trendy thing to say is that they're going to have to win every game 35-30. I'm not saying that that may not be the case the entire season at all. It very well may be. All I'm saying is, to me, I've seen it too many times before from too many teams. Went through it last week. You saw last year's Denver Broncos start off, I believe, at 6-0. Everybody thought Dallas this week was going to get killed in Houston. The Steelers have won three games with no Ben Roethlisberger. What a freaking Charlie Batch in Tampa Bay is putting up, what, 30-plus points. I mean, it's a crazy league. Miami and the Jets score 54 points. You know, Cincinnati winning at Carolina. It's just, you know, it's just too early to really know what to expect out of these teams. I think the only thing I can be sure of is the Patriots offense is going to be one of the best in the league. I think that's not really going on a limb. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? So that's all I can tell you about this Patriot team. As far as offense, defensively, I mean, it's a work in progress. I think some of their issues can be solved just by better tackling, putting themselves in a better position to make tackles. Yes, the secondary's young. Yes, at times they're going to give up some chunks of yardage. But I don't think it's this horrible, horrible secondary that a lot of people are saying. Is it weak? It's weak at times. But I thought they were in position to make some plays during the game on Sunday against the Bills and just didn't do it. You know, 3rd and 15, you know, yaks. I mean, just, you know, chances to for like 3rd and 10s and 3rd and 15s to be stopped 4 and 5 yards short of the first down. And a missed tackle here and a missed tackle there. A Tully Bantakane missed there. James Sanders missed there. Brandon Merriweather missed there. All of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Fitzpatrick looks like Joe Namath or Jim Kelly marching him down the field. Let's read some emails here. Again, webradio at patriots.com. This is left over from the John Brooks Show. I've heard Belichick break down film better than anyone. With that being said, this team has no official offensive defensive coordinator. Do you think wearing all these hats and being in the majority of meetings during the week with all the different groups is taking away from time you could be spending with a struggling Butler or McCourty? Well, first of all,
me?
No, I'm not kidding. First of all, McCourty's not struggling at all. Just the opposite. He might have had one or two bad plays. I think he played every down on defense, by the way, if I read Mike Reese's breakdown correctly on ESPN.com. I believe he played every single play. McCourty has done damn well so far for a rookie. Butler, of course, has not. He played that first series and then sat out, came back in the second quarter for a couple of nickel dime packages, and that's it. You know, Arrington took over, and he didn't really do the job either. But, so I'm not sure about that. Now, I heard Gerard Mayo, I thought, say on WEI, was it this week or last week, talk about Bill Belichick is the defensive coordinator. I think he said that. He said Bill Belichick's our defensive coordinator. So, according to Gerard, you did. And it's a work in progress. That's all I can tell you. They've got to get a more consistent pass rush. We've seen, you know, glimpses of it here and there, the first three games, but not a lot. They need to do it. They need to be more consistent. They have got it. And I'll tell you what, the guy who scares me, I mean, Brandon Marshall should scare the bejesus out of everybody this week. Because he's a great yak guy. He really is. He's not like a Randy Moss type, but he's a great yak guy. So he scares you. We've seen in the past, we have seen in the past a couple of times already, what Fasano can do at tight end. He's burned this team. So that worries me. On the flip side of that, the Dolphins have to be worried about what the Patriots can do offensively. Now, you saw Sanchez surprised the hell out of me, I must tell you. He made some beautiful throws in that Miami game the other night. So maybe we have all underestimated him. Again, it's week three. Henny's looked good at times. Can he continue to develop? I'm not sure. Can Sanchez continue to develop? I don't know. But he looked like he developed to me on Sunday night because he made some pinpoint accurate throws in that game. Only time will tell. Another email. This is the first time I've been able to listen live, and hopefully I can get this to you in time. I don't have anything specific to nitpick about. This is from John's Leftovers. Except the defense giving up so much yardage and points to a bad team. I live in the Bills' home area and have to watch them when the Pats aren't on, as my girlfriend is a Bills fan. They are not good. No kidding. Well, I think that the offense will be able to keep us far enough ahead to win unless we play a very good team. I also hope that as the season goes on, our young defense will get a little better. I did see flashes from some of the young players at every position. I was also very impressed with Green Ellis and Woodhead. I've heard that they are too small to be every down backs to say that. I say Barry Sanders. No, I'm not saying that I think either is at this level or will ever be, but he was small and quick, which helped him not take a lot of huge hits. Benny has done well when he plays in the past, and hopefully we'll both continue to play like that next week. Well, remember, we talked about Danny Woodhead a little bit last week, and I thought those of you who had seen him on Hard Knocks, we're going to be pleasantly surprised. And, man, the kid didn't disappoint. That kid is going to be a fan favorite around here, I hope, for a long time. I love him. I absolutely love him. Again, one game, you don't know what he's about, but he works his tail off. He went to this little dinky school, Division II school in Nebraska, that nobody knows about. I think it was, Division II Player of the Year or right up there. So I am so glad he was able to get in there on Sunday and contribute and score a touchdown. Let's read more. I don't know what it is. Every time this thing refreshes, Jason, it's really screwing me, I got to tell you. Let me see what else is on Facebook here. Again, you can email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. And right now, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 543-7482. If you want to join us, 508-543-7482 later on. But guess what? Joining us is Adam Shepard from ESPN. Hey, Adam, you're on the Pete Shepard Show with guess who? Me, Pete Shepard. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Pete Shepard. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, lots going on. Let me just ask you this. Before we get to the Patriots-Miami Dolphins, I want to ask you, has there been any news coming out of Washington, D.C. from earlier today?
In regards to what?
In regards to weren't the league and players' union meeting in D.C. today about?
Oh, there's no, I don't know that there'll be much of anything from a meeting like that. It's not like they're all of a sudden going to have a settlement.
No, I know.
You know, they'll talk. I know that both sides were optimistic about some progress that they felt they had made in the last meeting, at least more so in that meeting than they hadn't made in the other meeting. So that was some source of encouragement. I would imagine and hope that they made some encouragement, some encouraging signs today, but I have not heard anything officially.
I heard Chris Mortensen's thoughts on ESPN today and last night. What's your take on what Bill Polian said in his little radio show, and do you think that's going to come to fruition in the 18-game schedule?
Yeah, I think there's no question that the owners are determined to get it. Now, I know they're going to discuss a 17-game schedule, and if the league and the owners have their way, it'll be 18 games, and it's just a question of seeing if there's a way that the players can live with this, but they are hell-bent on getting 18 games, and I would think that ultimately the end, no later than 2012, we're going to have 18 games. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, don't you think the 17-game schedule will be a little difficult, an uneven schedule?
Yeah, but you know what? You could always do one game on neutral turf somewhere.
True.
You could do one game overseas somewhere. You could do a lot of different combinations of things, markets that don't have football teams, L.A., Toronto, markets that have I mean, look, there are a lot smarter people figuring these things out than me. I just know that a 17-game season is one thing that the two sides have or will discuss.
Okay, let's talk about this Patriots-Miami game coming up. Well, first of all, a quick synopsis, a recap of what the Miami Jets game, how you felt about it. Did you think, these two great defenses, I was expecting more of a Jet-Baltimore type of a game, And we got just the opposite. Very entertaining game, by the way, on Sunday night, but a lot more points than I think a lot of people expected for those two great, alleged two great defenses.
Well, listen, sometimes I've always found that when you head into a game and you talk about the offensive explosives that are going to take place, oftentimes the defense takes offense then. If you go into a game and you talk about the defenses that are going to shine, oftentimes the offenses explode. And a lot of times in this league, we always get the opposite result. That's why it's one of the great leagues, because it's always so surprising to see what happens. And I think Sunday night was a perfect example. You never think that they would put up 54 points between the two teams or whatever the number, exact mm-hmm. number was from the game. But they went in there, and both teams opened it up. They moved the ball in the air. They moved the ball on the ground. And ultimately, it wound up in a game that I don't think many people expected, a lot more high scoring.
All right, what can we expect? What do you expect in this Patriots-Miami game? Do you believe the Patriots' defense is at times looked as bad as it is, or do you think there's room? Do you think they can improve throughout the season? What type of game are we looking at here on Monday?
I think it's a situation where, you know, Miami is coming off the loss. New England's coming off a win in which it was not overly convincing. I think both sides have to shore up some things defensively. I think that the Jets exposed the Dolphins defensively in certain ways that the Dolphins would like to get corrected, and I don't think the Patriots are overly pleased with what's gone on defensively so far. Obviously, you have Fred Taylor nursing the injury as well, and they're going to have to find someone to rush the football on Monday night. But I think the Patriots' biggest concern right now would be getting the defense in order.
No, I agree. I'm wondering, I think it's going to come down to which team can exploit the other one's defense more. I mean, the Patriots obviously are going to have, and one thing I'm sure of is that if they stay healthy, the Patriots will have one of the top three or four offenses in the league, if not number one, throughout the season. And the tight end matchup, I think, on both sides is, to me, going to be the keys to the game. I mean, Hernandez and Gronkowski have been great so far. I think they can do some serious damage against this Dolphins secondary. And I also think, you know, Fasano in the past has had some pretty big games against the Patriots. He's only been in the league a little while, but he's done very well. So, I mean, whoever wins the tight end battle might very well win this game.
Yeah, no, listen, the tight ends for the Patriots this year, when you look back in the past, they have never seemed to get a ton of production out of their tight ends. And you always thought they would between Ben Watson and David Thomas and some of the players they've had at the position, Chris Baker. You always thought they'd get more out of their tight ends. For whatever reason, it's never really happened that way. And now it's a situation where I think you have a case where both these guys, both these tight ends have emerged. They both have proven themselves, and I think both can be very good for them.
And Miami's offense, of course, you start with Chad Henne, and I'm wondering, can he sustain? I thought he played, you know, to me he seems to be improving on a weekly basis, as is Sanchez, but I thought Sanchez made some unbelievable throws the other night.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure he was capable of making, but I've kind of changed my mind on him. But so Chad Henne, can he continue to develop, and what do you like about him?
I think Chad Henne is a guy that still has to convince the Dolphins that he's going to be their quarterback of the future. I think he's been on thin ice there. I think he played as well on Sunday night as he's played in recent memory. If he can continue to do that, get the ball to Brandon Marshall, get the ball to Devon Bess, be accurate in his throws, make reads that he hadn't been making, then he's going to be fine. But I know that he's got to continue to win over the trust of that organization, which he has not yet won. It is not like he is their quarterback of the future unequivocally. They're waiting to see, and they're hoping that he can be, but they don't know that he will just yet.
All right, one last question before we let you go. And again, thank you so much for joining me on the show. If the Dolphins play defense the way they did Sunday night against the Jets, and the Patriots play defense the way they did against Buffalo on Sunday, who wins this game?
I like New England. I think that, again, it always comes down to the quarterbacks. Patriots quarterback is more experienced, more talented, better in clutch situations. I like New England.
All right, Evan, thank you. I think you're in the minority, but I know I got to tell you,
is that right?
Everybody in the New England area, all the Patriots Football Weekly people, a lot of the Providence Journal, Boston Herald, Boston Globe, a lot of people are scared to death of this game and are going with the Dolphins. But
it's in Miami or New England?
It's in Miami.
Oh, it's in Miami. I thought it was in New England. Okay. I hadn't factored that in. I thought it was in New England.
No, it's in Miami, which, you know, last year the Patriots all they needed was the first down to win that game, and they couldn't get one last year, but after blowing a 21-10 lead. But it'll be interesting. Adam Schefter from ESPN, thank you so much for joining us, and you're welcome here anytime.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. Adam Schefter from ESPN, you see him, he is one of the best in the business, no question about it. And we'll speak with another guy who's one of the best in the business, a good friend and one of my favorite people in the business, Vic Carucci. He'll come on at 5:30. Going to take a quick break. I know we've had a busy first hour here. I'm going to come back and read as any many emails as I can. Hopefully take some of your phone calls at 508-543-7482. That's the ACE ticket hotline at 508-543-7482. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com, or you can email me. My Facebook page is Pete Shepard, S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Find me, and you can post on my wall any questions you have if that's easier for you. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
Wow. You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football.
Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello? So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Gary Malone running back, three tight end offense. Butler in motion, left to right. Brady, hand off to no one. Play action fake. Fires end zone, touchdown Randy Moss. Tom Brady's sixth touchdown pass of the season. Randy Moss's second touchdown reception of the season. The 151st of his career. And that makes him second only to Jerry Rice in terms of touchdown receptions in the National Football League.
All right, Gil and Gina with the call on the Patriots Radio Network. Welcome back to the Pete Shepard Show at Patriots.com. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the ACE Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. It's all about you guys and your emails for until 5:30 when Vic Carucci joins us in the final half hour of the program. Jason Nebraska says, hey, guys, I watched Danny Woodhead play college football, and the Patriots have just begun to see what kind of a great player in person he is. I am glad he is with the Pats, where he will have a chance to shine. There's no question about it. And the role he is in, it's a perfect for him right now. Can he be an everyday back? Probably not. But I would tell you, I would have been amazed that the Jets cut him after what I saw in Hard Knocks. I know it's just a sample, but you could tell this kid is just a workaholic. You could tell he's Belichick kind of a guy where he loves to play football. You can just see it in his eyes. The kid loves to play football. All right. Here's
a nice little player.
He's a nice little player. Bill says, Pete, go New England Colts. I don't know what that means, but okay. That's fine with me. That's fine. Again, webradiopatriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. And we got a leftover as well. And you can also, I got my Facebook page up and running. So if you want to post on my Facebook page wall, that's fine. It's under Pete Shepard. And again, just you'll find it on Facebook. I don't have time to. If you're not one of my friends, I have like 1,100 something friends on here. But if you're not one of my friends, I apologize.
Stop bragging.
Oh well, I'm not bragging. It's just you know people are you know.
You're kind of a big deal, right? People know you.
I'm kind of notorious. I don't know, infamous, but whatever. Everybody's been very nice, by the way, on Facebook. What a remarkable tool. Can't wait to see the movie. Movie comes out on Friday. You know, I don't know how much truth there is to it, right? Then they got that counter movie, right? What's it called? It's like one word, like Facebook sucks or something, but it really doesn't. I don't know. We'll find out. Leftover email to John Rookshow. What's everyone so upset by it being a close game? If my memory is correct, didn't the Pats and Bills have a stretch where they had 6 to 7 games decided by 3 points or less? It is what it is. The Miami game will be tough because they are always tough in Miami. I'd like to see the Pats get another DB and speed rush linebacker, but that probably won't happen, so we must suck it up. Thanks and congrats on the book, John's book, Rich in Maine.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's gonna be, you know, last year, the last two times, actually, if you go back to Matt Castle, Matt Castle destroyed the Dolphins in Miami in 2008. I mean, he destroyed them. The Patriots won by 3 touchdowns. Now, I know that game was actually close for like 2.5 quarters, but Matt Castle had an unbelievable game there, and he's doing pretty well right now with the Chiefs.
If you guys want to get a treat, you should go to the horse track and watch Wes Welker jockey.
But, you know, last year the Patriots down in Miami, well, they have not fared well for the most part in their history. And even under the Bill Belichick era, I think they're 4-6 down there, but have lost some very, very tough games. Remember the 29-28 game in 04? Last year's game really sucked because all they needed was one of those games where they just needed a first down. You know, that's all they needed was a first down to close the game out, and they couldn't get it. So that was frustrating as all hell. So hopefully, they can come back with a vengeance. You know, it scares me and pleases me somewhat, if I may sit on that fence, that it seems everybody in the country and around New England, many of the sports writers around here, are not giving the Patriots much of a chance in this game. I can understand why. They certainly have not proven they can beat anybody on the road that's good. Not last year. I mean, you know, starting last year. And so far, not this year against the Jets.
Good disclaimer, since they've only played one game on the road.
Well, I'm actually talking more about last year and one this year. That's why I did disclaim myself. Small sampling again. That's the words of the day. Small sampling. I'm gonna write that down, like Mr. Rogers. Small sampling. Okay. And I know Tommy E. Curran on Comcast Sportsnet has a nice article today on his site about, you know, almost like a must-win situation. I wouldn't go quite that far. I know it's a big game. It's a divisional game, obviously. Bill Belichick really treats these games, you know, they're very important in the whole grand scheme of things, and they are. But, you know, must-win? Yeah. I don't think any game's a must-win in Week 4 for anybody unless you're 0-3. Like the 49ers, right? 49ers are 0-3. They have a must-win coming up. But I am really going to be fascinated to see how Chad Henne does against this Patriots defense. And people are going to, you know, jump to the conclusion that if Fitzpatrick can put up those kind of numbers, well, Henne can do that. See, and you should know by now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that the NFL, it just doesn't work out that way as easy as you think. It just doesn't. It never does. I shouldn't say it never does. It does at times. The game last year, when the Patriots went to New Orleans last year, and even though people many times say, oh, Pete, you never pick against the Patriots, this, that, you don't criticize them, blah, blah. It's not true. I mean, if you really listen to all the shows I did on the radio over the years, we criticize them. I criticize them when they need to be criticized. I picked against them many times, a lot more than you want to believe it. And I'm telling you, you know, that game last year where they went to New Orleans, I didn't think they had a prayer. It's just the way that things were going. I thought it was a bad point in the schedule for them. I didn't think they had a prayer. I do not feel that way about this game this week. Because I think they're going to, these are the kind of games I think when, I have to say it, it seems like no one's giving them a chance at all. But I am! I give them a chance. I think it's going to be one hell of a game. My gut feeling tells me, I'm with Adam Schefter, but Adam really does love the Patriots. He loves Bill Belichick, loves the Patriots, but I'm with him. I'm with him on this one. You know, I'll give my picks at the end of the show, but I'm leaning towards New England very highly. Because everybody else is picking against them. That's not the sole reason why I'm picking them. I just think offensively they can put up better numbers. They're going to be able to outscore the Miami Dolphins in this game. Will the Patriots' defense at times look ugly? No doubt. There's no question about it. They looked ugly against the freaking Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, who got off 14 offensive plays for 10-plus yards. And like I said, what bothered me the most about some of that, you know, it wasn't the Arringtons and the Butlers. I mean, some of that stuff, you know. McCourty got beat on maybe one play. But overall, he did a pretty good job, you got to say, on Lee Evans. I mean, he really did. But for God's sakes, man, you got to tackle. And I know Coach Belichick, that's got to be the thing that irritates him the most. See, I think he can live sometimes with a corner getting burned here, a late coverage by a safety there. I think he sees that as correctable problems sometimes. But it's the fundamental stuff, like blocking and tackling, that really, really gets his goat. Because they stress that stuff so much in practice. I know he's a stickler about it. And they drill into these guys' heads time and time again. And even on special teams, you know, I think it was Merriweather that, you know, had a chance to, stop him, you know, before that touchdown, way before that. They had ample opportunities, Sanders and Merriweather, so many times to stop big plays by shutting people down. You know, but these third, I mean, when you see a team go third and 10, third and 15 on the Patriots, I start breaking out in a rash. Because they can't stop anybody on third and 10 and third and 15. Third and 2, third and 1, third and inches? Tough. They are unbelievable. They can't stop anybody on third and long. It is amazing to me. And this isn't just one or two games. We're talking like last year, almost the entire season had that problem. So we'll see. All right, call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Paul is in Walpole on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hi, Paul.
Pete, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you? I'm doing fine.
Excellent. Hey, I've been listening to you last week, too. Do you think they'll cover this week?
I don't even know. What's the line? I don't even know. What's the line?
I don't know.
I didn't think they covered last week.
I think you're right.
They didn't cover last week. I mean, I picked the Patriots not to. I picked Buffalo to cover the game last week. If I remember correctly, I said Patriots will probably have a 15-17-point lead in the fourth quarter, and that has backdoor cover written all over it. I know that, you know, we don't talk about the jelly bean aspect on this show, but
Patriots are favored by one.
Favored by one, but that's probably going to be a pick game, or probably Miami even favored by a point by the end of the week. But
no, another question. This is a serious one. Yeah. I'm watching the game last night with Devin Hester. Someone asked me, with the hair, you know, these guys with the dreadlocks, can you grab that to pull someone down?
Yeah, I believe you can. They changed that rule. You can't horse collar the guy, but you can pull his hair.
Oh, geez.
You can pull his ponytails, but you can't horse collar the guy. Yeah.
And last thing is, do you know if the Jets replaced Chris Jenkins? Did they sign Noah Schulz out of Nebraska? Is that true?
I don't know. We can probably check on that for you, but we'll check on that for you and let you know.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it. Again, you want to join us on the Ace Ticket Hotline? 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Of course, you can email us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. And if you feel more comfortable, you can send me a message on Facebook. I got my Facebook page open today. So if you feel like doing that, if that's easier, that's fine. I'll read as many of those comments as you want. For those of you who have friended me, been so kind, by the way. Patriots, Miami Dolphins, Monday night. I think it's going to be one of the best games of the year. I really do. I think it's going to be entertaining as all hell, win, lose, or draw. I really expect that. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think both teams might score in the 30s in this one. Again, it always comes to play, too, as well. I mean, if a team starts turning the ball over on kickoffs, they fumble on the 10, 15-yard line, you know, all bets are off, so to speak. But I just think we're going to see a lot of offense on Monday night in Miami. A lot of offense. And hopefully it won't be. I'm actually glad they're playing that game at night. It won't be quite as hot because as you've seen time and time again, it always seems like the Miami Dolphins have all these games in late September, early October, where it can be brutal down there, the weather, brutal. I think a couple of players brought that up. When the Northeast teams go down there, you know, sometimes they struggle. They get tired in the second half. Well, it wasn't the case with the Jets. I got to tell God, I hate to do this. I hate to do this. But, man, you got to give it up for Sanchez, what he did Sunday. Shocked the hell out of me the way he played. I just couldn't believe it, what I was watching. Those pinpoint throws he was making. I mean, he had his difficulties at times, but I got to tell you, I was pretty impressed. And now we have some NFL news to tell you about. Adam Schefter, who was just on with us of ESPN, reports that the Jaguars have been have claimed by Bills quarterback Trent Edwards, believe it or not. So good luck with that. They can have him. Trent Edwards is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. Good luck. David Garrard is their, of course, their top quarterback right now. So poor Jack Del Rio has to deal with Trent Edwards. Good God almighty, man. Todd Bowman, I guess, is behind Garrard. Edwards has started 32 games, his best season 2008, 2,699 yards, and a 65.5% passing completion percentage in 14 starts. But he's just not good. I mean, he's just not good. Let's just be, you know.
Speaking of quarterbacks, what did you think of Michael Vick this weekend?
That is the other thing. That is the other intriguing matchup, and I meant to ask Adam about that, but I'll save that for Vic Carucci, because that is going to be – that's a game besides – it's Sunday. If I could be at that game, I'd be at that game. Michael Vick at home against Donovan McNabb and the Washington Redskins. Michael Vick, another one. Very, very impressive. I don't know what he learned in the can, but he finally learned how to throw the ball accurately, at least for one game. But you have to say he's been impressive. Andy Reid did the right thing. Had to do it. I mean, Cobb is still basically an unknown, and Michael Vick looks like the MVP of the league right now, to be honest with you. Him and Brady, of course. But James is going to throw up in the other room. But you got to give it up for Michael Vick. That is going to be an unbelievable. And you got to think Donovan McNabb is going to be jacked and pumped for that one. So, we'll see. I'm just not a big, Donovan's just lost a step or two with three, four, five. So, we shall see. One of my upset specials last week, I told you, was the Rams. I did have the Rams in my picks here, which we'll get to at the end of next hour. We're going to take a quick break in a second. But first, let me read this email. Pete, the subject line was important to understand the email. Oh, I'm sorry. I said that I believe in Bill Air Belichick's offensive genius. The Colts fans used to complain about no defense and claimed Brady had a good defense. I was a load of crap. It was a load of crap. But nevertheless, this version fits the way those old Colts teams felt. Bill, thank you for the meme. Okay, I get it now, Bill. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I think this Patriot defense has a bit of a future. I think if you really go back over the years and you look at some of the Patriots' past defenses when some of these guys were younger, you'd be surprised what people thought of them then as opposed to now. And I still remember Asante Samuel taking abuse in year two. I'm telling you. I remember it like it was yesterday. I used to say the same thing then as I'm saying now. Because I think this was Kid McCourty's the real deal. So just hang in there. It's gonna be fun this year, guys. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a lot of points this team's gonna put up, and they're probably more than likely gonna give up a lot. It's not to say they can't improve as the season goes on. But right now, anyway, from the small sampling we've seen of three games, I think we can expect a lot of 38-30 games, a lot of 35-31s. That's the kind of season we're looking at. Well, that was a quick first hour here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Again, email us, webradio@patriots.com. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. At the bottom of the hour, NFL Network's Vic Carucci will join me at 5:30. Of course, around 10 off, I will have my picks. And, man, what a week I had last week. What did I go, 9-7? I think I went 9-7 last week. We'll look to improve on that. Tough games last week, too. Tough games last week. All right, Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. When we come back, right back to you guys and your thoughts after this.
Hey, Brian.
it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
Wow. You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello? So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Gets it cut up the middle. He's inside the 15-yard line. Turning wide at the 10. At the 5. And he's into the end zone.
Whoa.
Touchdown, Danny Woodhead.
Took the handoff to the right and ran that one very much the way Geno Kevin Falk run that play. Ever been close
to tragedy? Right back here is the second and final hour of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Join us web radio at Patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. 543-7482. 508. Put that 508 in front of that. 543-7482. And let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with Chris in Rhode Island, who's been waiting patiently. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Pete, how are you? It's great to hear you back on the airwaves.
Well, great really to hear you, my friend. Thank you so much for checking in. What's on your mind?
I want to talk about the Patriots defense, and I know there's a lot of concern on the pass defense, but I think a lot of reasonable fans expected that with the injury to Lee Bawden. But what concerns me is the rushing defense. I just checked, and I thought they were ranked 20th, which is ironically one place below the Dolphins. Why do you see the run defense as having so much problems this year? Or well, maybe you don't think it's a problem.
Well, no. What's the problem at time? Not so much in the Cincinnati game. You know, there were some garbage yards in that game. So I kind of throw the Cincinnati second half out because the Patriots were killing them by 4 touchdowns. So I don't look at that so much. Certainly, LaDainian Tomlinson, who has just, taken some kind of a, one of those super underdog pills, because you saw him again on Sunday night against the Jets and running out of his mind like he's 20 years old again. I'm not sure they were ready for that kind of a speed, that kind of speed that he had. But certainly the Buffalo Bills, it's what I've been talking about. Bad tackling.
Yeah.
They seem to be in position to make plays at times this year, and they're not doing it. And
I don't understand it, but they better find out. They better get together. They better come together with soon because they're going to be in some trouble. If they allow Miami to run the ball like the way the Bills were able to run the ball, they're going to be in some serious trouble in this game. You know,
yeah,
they really are because you know Brown and William and the Wildcat, which they've done a pretty good job the last two times of controlling. They really have. Mm-hmm. However, Henny, I think, is developing as a decent quarterback. He looked better than decent on Sunday night. It's still kind of a coin flip where you don't know what you're going to get. But, look, if Fitzpatrick can put up those kind of yards against the Patriots, Henny can probably do the same. Until I see any differently, you know, I got to think that the Patriots' defense is, you know, probably going to give up somewhere between 24 and 30 points again in this one. Until I see differently. I'm not saying that's going to be the case every week, but they have to prove to me, particularly on the road, that they can stop anybody. So far, I haven't seen it. I mean, I really haven't seen it.
I wonder if they can keep it on the ground and maybe exploit Miami's weakness against the run and maybe give the young defense a rest, especially in the – it's going to be a humid night, I would assume. And
yeah, well, it would be nice. I mean, again, that's all dependent on, you know, getting a pass rush. You know, Tully Bantakane, you know, was kind of invisible. I saw maybe one time kind of near the quarterback. I thought he had kind of a, you know, an average game at best. You got to get – you know, Wilfork was double-teamed a lot on – which is fine. That's what you expect. He's going to open up, you know, or you saw Brace and Warren at times have some a little bit of impact, but they have got to get a consistent pass rush somehow, some way to relieve some of the pressure on the secondary. I mean, it's just, it's football one-on-one. I mean, everybody knows that. Just, I need to see it.
And maybe Cunningham can step it up. I don't know.
Well, possibly. And, you know, then you saw, you know, Crable made an appearance the other day, but he didn't, on Sunday, but he didn't do much either. He hasn't played a whole hell of a lot. They tried corner blitzing with Arrington. He screwed that up. You know, Butler right now playing like, you know, caca. So he's not playing. So, you know, and McCourty to me is the real deal. McCourty,
yeah,
he's
like
the real
him.
Deal. I mean, he did a real good job, I thought, on Lee Evans. And he got burned on one or two plays, but not too badly. I still like Chung back there. He's a real good tackler. He can hit like a truck. He still gets late at coverage sometimes. But I think he and McCourty – or the backbone. I am very disappointed so far in Merriweather. I got to tell you, very disappointed on some of the coverage I've seen out of him and the tackling out of him and Sanders. I think
the
it's been awful,
too.
Awful
angles,
so far.
Awful angles.
Awful angles. And they've been in position to stop guys. And those third and 50, Buffalo had, they had 14 plays of 10 plus yards on Sunday. That cannot happen this Monday night. It just can't.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, thanks a lot, Pete, and I moved to Rhode Island about 4 years ago, and you're absolutely correct. It is God's country down here. I love it.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the
thanks
call.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Have
Thank
fun.
You. You too. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline here at the Pete Shepherd Show at 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Or you can, of course, email us here, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. I promise I will read everything. And, of course, if that's not good enough, I have my Facebook page up and running as well, so you can check that out. Those of you who are my friends, and there are many of you, thank you. I try to befriend everybody. And I can read off the Facebook page as well. Vic Carucci coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll speak to him about the Patriots-Dolphins. I want to get his thoughts on Donovan McNabb versus Michael Vick. And also his thoughts on the 18-game schedule as well. You heard Adam Schefter earlier from ESPN. You also heard from our friend Jesse Agler from the FinInsiders.com, who he is picking the Miami Dolphins to win. Everybody's picking Miami to win this game. Everybody. That's why I'm leaning towards the Patriots. Again, my pick's coming up at around a quarter of six, 10 of six, somewhere around there. We'll figure it out. An intriguing game coming up on Monday night. Your thoughts? Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, webradio@patriots.com. The matchups to me, the matchups to watch out for, the tight end matchups. Gronkowski and Hernandez going up against Jeremiah Bell, who I think sucks, and Chris Clemens, who I think is, you know, average at best. Channing Crowder comes back at linebacker for the Dolphins. All right, that guy I respect a tremendous amount. You know, he can do some damage. He can do some damage. Can the Patriots, will they be able to run the ball effectively again? I know the Bills, as I told you last week, I thought the Pats would put up at least 100 yards rushing in this game rather easily. They double that up to 200 yards, as the law firm was pretty good. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, you know what Danny Woodhead can do. I think you might see a little more of that kid as well. He's just sneaky for a lot of reasons. One, you can't find him at all. Can't find him. He stays low to the ground. He's built like a you-know-what brick you-know-what. Tough, solid combination of Welker and Elliman combined, but a little more bulk. So you stick him in there a couple of times. You know, he's not going to replace Kevin Falk. Nobody's going to do that. But and Hernandez, how refreshing was it to see? That was like a video game play. You know the one I'm talking about? The tight end end around. That was beautiful. I used to run that on Madden. I mean, that was beautiful. Tight end end around Hernandez. Wow.
And when he can take your center and just blow him.
Thank you, John. Thank you. I mean, that kind of stuff was just great. In fact, they ran that play twice, I think, in that game. They ran it twice. I think they ran it twice. But Hernandez is the real deal. That kid is open every single time. Great hands. Solid. On the other side, the Miami Dolphins, the Brandon Marshall matchup against anybody covering him worries me to death. Again, he is not like Randy Moss where he's going to, you know, when if McCourty's on him, even like Lee Evans, going to fly down the field a lot. This guy is a great yak catcher, among other things that he's gotten in trouble for, but he's a great yak catcher, yards after catch. So linebackers are going to have to be very wary of that because he might probably going to catch a lot of 5 and 7 yard slants and can turn those into 40 yards very quickly. So our linebackers, Gerard Mayo, Spikes, and Tully, Ninkovich, especially the safeties. I mean, Merriweather, if he's playing a lot, and Sanders, they're on the field at the same time, you know, they got to tackle. You can't go through big chunks of plays where they just couldn't tackle. Because I really thought at times they were in position to make plays, as I said, and they just didn't get the job done. Patriots offense, not worried about it at all. They're going to put up 30 in this game. Not worried about it in the least bit, barring any stupid, ridiculous turnovers or fumbles. They should be able to put up 30 on this team. Not worried about that at all. But it is Miami, and it is Monday night. And goofy things happen in Miami on Monday nights. We've seen it before against the Patriots. Even the year they won the Super Bowl, they closed out the year. Remember, they listened to that 29-28 game. Oh, I'll hear all the rankings as well. I'm getting a headache looking at that. Jason, thank you. If I look, I know that's in the, let me see, get my Patriots Football Weekly out. They do all these rankings. They break it down. They do such a good job. You know, Perillo's a pain in the butt, but he does a pretty good job. I didn't hear him this week. What color shirt did he have on today on the show?
Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, they're here every day. Paul Perillo, one of your own.
All right, here's the thing. Here's the tale of the tape as put on page 28 of Patriots Football Weekly, a fantastic magazine that gives you all the angles. It's just, it is a great. I think it's the best NFL magazine out there. I kid you not. They do such a tremendous job, these guys. So I'll give you all the stats here. Again, if you want to check in with your opinion, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Look forward to hearing you. Of course, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me, and I will, get to them as quickly as I can. But here's all the stats, okay?
I do not care about the numbers.
Well, I do. Corey Dillon, right? I do. I do, Corey.
I don't give a
total yards gained. How about this? Patriots 1112, Miami 522. Ranking yards per game. Patriots are 13th with 371. Dolphins are near the bottom at 261. Rushing offense. Patriots 123.3 a game, 24th. Dolphins. You know, this is why the numbers are. This is why these numbers. I mean, you can't take this seriously. The Dolphins average 2.7 more yards rushing a game so far than the Patriots. 2.7 more a game at 126, and they're tied for seventh.
0.0.
Exactly. Patriots are 24th, and the Dolphins. Now, if you just looked at that and said Patriots 24th, Dolphins 7th, you'd be like, oh, my God. And this is why people, I've been saying it for years, you cannot take net yardage stuff all that seriously, a lot of it, because a ton of it at times comes in garbage time. It means nothing. So the rushing, forget that. Yards allowed in the game, okay, this is somewhat significant. Patriots are 26th at 379.3 per game. The Dolphins are 5th at 265. Now, that kind of a number, I think, is significant, somewhat. Now, you can take into account some of the skewed numbers from the Cincinnati game when the Patriots had a 4-touchdown lead. You have to factor that in a little bit, but still, I think, for the most part, that's pretty good. Those numbers are pretty good. Rushing defense, Patriots tied for 15th at 119. Dolphins tied for 11th, 103. Basically a wash there. Pass defense, Patriots near the bottom at 28th, 260.3 a game. Okay, that's, we've seen that. Dolphins are 6th, 162 yards. And I promise you, barring any unforeseen fumble-itis miracle or interception that, you know, get bounced off three hands and Patriots turn the ball over that way, I promise you that that the Patriots and Tom Brady will have more than 162 yards passing against the Miami Dolphins. Possession average just about even at 30 minutes a game. Sacks allowed. Now, you have to, and you wonder what Logan Mankins has to be thinking a little bit. The Patriots so far this year have only allowed 2 sacks for 16 yards. The offensive line is one thing you got to say so far. Again, small sampling. So far, this Patriot offensive line has done a hell of a job. They really have. You know, Neil Copen, Cage has been hurt, obviously. You know, Vollmer's been in there. Conley's done a fairly good job so far. Brady's had tremendous protection. Okay, back to the stats here, the meaningless stats. So sacks allowed, Patriots 2 for 16. Henny's been sacked 5 times for 26 in 3 games. Sacks made, Patriots 5 for 31. Dolphins have made one more with their great, allegedly great defense, 6 of 40. So that's something to, it's interesting to me. So here's the Dolphins with their alleged great defense, far superior supposedly to the Patriots. They only have one more sack for 9 more yards. Passing touchdowns, interceptions, 8-2. Henny has 1 touchdown, no picks. And we have more NFL news to tell you about. Let's see. What site is this from? ESPN? Oh, ProFootballTalk.com? ProFootballTalk.com. Great website, by the way. And it says, we previously noted that 49ers offensive tackle Anthony Davis accused Chiefs defensive tackle Sean Smith of grabbing his genitals during, ouch, during his Sunday's game. And now video of the incident has emerged. Is this safe for children to watch? Is this one of those fun for the whole family things that you know?
I skinned my pecker.
Oh, my goodness. The video appears to back up Davis's account of what happened. That Smith grabbed his crotch. Davis reacted by slugging Smith. And the officials gave Davis a 15-yard penalty for retaliating without ever seeing what Smith had done to provoke his retaliation. Davis is the second opponent this season to accuse Smith of grabbing his junk. Brown center Alex Mack also said Smith grabbed his genitals.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold.
So obviously, Sean Smith has some kind of I don't know. Am I allowed to say, can I say nut fetish? Did I say that on the show?
I think you just did.
I did. I guess I just did. I guess I can. So Sean Smith has some kind of a nut fetish, excuse me. Grabbing everyone's genitals all over the field. This happened 3 times, apparently, so.
The Cockle Gobbler.
You know, I'm not sure what you got to do about that, but, I mean, Commissioner Roger Goodell needs to take a serious look at this guy. Because you're not safe on the field if Sean Smith is on the field with you.
The Cockle Gobbler.
I mean, it is, it's gross is what it is. It's despicable. It's disgusting. But believe it or not, and Freddie and Steve certainly have told me many stories, and Zoe over the years, about what happens at the bottom of piles, particularly when there's a fumble. I mean, it is nasty down there. Nasty. When you got like 9 or 10 guys punching and grabbing and poking and pointing and shoving all over the place.
It's not I play with them.
Thanks, Freddie. So, Sean Smith, beware. Sean Smith, beware. If he's on the field. Chiefs defensive tackle. Now, I'm not sure that's something Romeo Crennel is teaching out in Kansas City. They are 3-0. But I don't think one of the drills every week is to have Sean Smith go out and grab people's junk on the field. But apparently that's what he's doing. I'm offended by the entire story, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I'll be able to sleep tonight knowing that. Back to the Miami Patriots stats. And Vic Carucci will join us at the bottom of the hour here on the Pete Shepard Show. And you can join us as well on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. And, of course, email us, webradio@patriots.com. And if you feel like it, you can Facebook me. It's Pete Shepard, PeteShepPard. And I will read as many of them as I can. All right, passing touchdowns and receptions, Patriots 7-3. Dolphins 1-3, big deal. Penalties against, Patriots have 16 for 144, Dolphins 5-30. So they've been pretty disciplined on defense. But I have a feeling going up against this potent Patriot offense, you might see a little more illegal contact here and there. It's going to be interesting. Punts 7 for 43.1, and they have, you know, big deal, 13-40. Turnover differential, Patriots are even, Dolphins are +2. So there you have it. Really doesn't tell you a whole hell of a lot, does it? It really doesn't. Again, people get caught up sometimes in these ridiculous net yardage stuff. It's how they determine offense and defense. And, you know, if you didn't watch the games and just looked at those numbers, you know, you'd say, yeah, this team is that. And it's not just the Patriots and Dolphins. It's this team is that or this team is this. And I used to get in arguments with people all the time about it. Even during the Super Bowl years, the Patriots would have a defense ranked, 07 they were ranked 6th, and in 01, well, they were ranked like 8th or 9th, I think, overall. But they've had defenses, and because of net yard, because they were so far ahead, in 2000, even in 2007, they were so far ahead in so many of those games. So a lot of it was just junk yards at the end. So, but that just shows, you know, it's just meaningless stats that show up. Lots of net yards. Sometimes quarterbacks have finished 250, 275 yards against that 07 team. But who cares when you're down by 30 in the second quarter? Who cares? We shall see. Join us here at the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Your thoughts on the Patriots Miami Dolphins. Can they get it done? Can they beat a good team on the road? Can they do it? Who was the last good team, Jason, they beat on the road? I'm trying to think the last good team.
You'd have to go back to 2008.
You have to go back to 2008.
Because we lost to the Colts last year. We lost to the
Saints. I think
Saints
you have to go back
year.
To Matt Castle in Miami in the second half. He just drilled them. I think they ended up winning 44-21, something like that. But I'm talking about, forget the 2008. I'm talking about since 2009. And this year, and again, it's just one game this year they've had on the road. But 2009,
you lost to Denver in overtime.
Yeah, that was pathetic. Pathetic. Again, that was a game that they should have won. That was all they needed was a first down. They had to punt the ball back. So that's one more win. Pathetic. And that was an offensive loss again. Okay, read the losses to me last year. Let's go through. Let's torture ourselves one more time. Because people get crazy with some of these. It's always the defense last year. And yes, in certain times against Indy and the Saints, it was, okay? But the offense cost this team. God, give me the losses last year.
Last year, Jets on the road.
Yeah, well, remember that was
16-9.
Again, week two, offense sucked. Offense sucked. Defense gave up 16 points. And I think the offense put the Jets in a very good scoring, but if I remember correctly, the defense might have, did the Jets score a defensive touchdown in that game? I think they might have. They might have. But regardless, the defense played pretty well in that game. The offense stunk.
The overtime loss to the Broncos, 20-17.
Well, we know that. That was just hideous.
The Colts game, I don't think we need to rehash.
No, we
know.
We know what happened there. They got screwed. But
we know what happened in New Orleans.
New Orleans was just a plain old-fashioned ass-kicking. That's just what it was. They got their butts whipped. It happens from time to time.
We lost at Miami.
That was another game they gave away.
22-21.
They were up 21-10 in the fourth quarter and could not hold it. And all they needed twice the defense put the offense in position to win that game. And twice, all it was getting a first down, and twice they couldn't do it. They had to punt the ball away, and Miami came back and won.
And then they lost to Houston on the last game of the year, 34-27. Well, two games that they won on the road in London.
Yeah, which doesn't count. We don't count that one.
And
in Buffalo.
Buffalo, 17-10.
Yeah, 17-10, yeah. So you have to go back to 2008 before they beat anybody decent, and that might have been the Matt Castle game, I think, in Miami. And I believe, Jay, it was 44-21 when it was all said and done. I think that was the last big one. I don't count that. They played the Raiders at the end of the year, and they crushed them, too. And I believe it was the Miami game in December, right, that they won? Back in 08.
on the road, they beat Miami in November, 48-28. Yep. They also beat the Seahawks, 24-21 on the road.
That was the...
and then you have the Raiders game.
Yeah. And that was the coming out game, I think, for Mary. I think Merriweather kind of came out of a shell in that Seahawks game. I remember, I think he forced a fumble at the end, and that was that game was up for grabs. But they were on a roll. Patriots were on a roll that year at the end of 08. It would have been interesting. I think they would have played the Steelers in the first round of the playoffs. That was Matt Castle's only real horrific game, was that game here in Foxborough that year where that rain, it was horrible rain. They just turned the ball over like five times. But so you have to go back to 08, really 08, on the road against Miami in November with Matt Castle, the quarterback, the last time this Patriot team beat anybody decent on the road. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Vic Carucci from the NFL Network is going to join us. You can join us as well after that. Webradio at patriots.com. Webradio at patriots.com. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Back with Vic Carucci from the NFL Network. Then more of your calls and emails up next on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
Wow. You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Is it gone?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello? So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
All right, back here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. Hey, everybody, it's Tuesday. We're doing it every Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Join us at webradio at patriots.com. You can also call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email from Warren in the U.K. This week, I think Pats will win a well-contested game, and this is the Welker week, the week where some eyes will be on the Hernandez and Moss, and Welker will shine. He will have 9 catches at least against the Dolphins. Quote me on that, okay? I just did. O-line looks very strong from the first 3 weeks, especially protecting Brady. That's true. sacked only twice. And it was nice to see all the three tight end sets with a run play this week. I wondered why they didn't do that last week, but glad to see it. Hernandez looks great. Merriweather should learn from this and not go for the big hit all the time. Anyway, thanks to Warren in the UK. And joining us right now here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, my old friend Vic Carucci from the NFL Network. Vic, can you believe it? I got my own show. It finally happened.
Well, I'm very happy for you, Pete, and well-deserved, and happy to be with you.
Well, thank you so much, my friend, for taking a few minutes here. And before we just, I know you don't have a lot of time. We'll touch on the Patriots and Dolphins first. I'm just going to flat out ask you, after what I saw Sunday night, which was about probably 50 more points scored than I thought were going to be scored, how can anybody actually predict what is going to happen in this game coming up from a defensive standpoint between these two teams? Is it going to be an old-fashioned shootout, or are both defenses going to, do better than what we saw on Sunday?
I'm leaning in the direction of more of a shootout. I mean, I think, first of all, let's talk about the Patriots' defense. The youth there clearly is not serving that team well. The inexperience, the vulnerability, it just was too easy for a Buffalo team that is so offensively challenged. I don't care that they made a quarterback change. I set that team pretty closely. And Ryan Fitzpatrick may have been an upgrade for Trent Edwards, but it really shouldn't have been that big of an upgrade as was reflected in the way they moved the ball against the Patriots. And, now facing a Chad Henne and an overall, I think, a more balanced offense that the Dolphins have, and doing it on the road in Miami will be a task for that Patriot defense. But the flip side of it is we saw what the Jets did against Miami's defense and the plays that Mark Sanchez was able to make. And, then you think about Tom Brady and what he's doing now. And I heard you just mention those tight end formations. And I said the same thing. I wanted to see much more of that in the second half against the Jets, quite honestly, because I thought it was working quite well. And it's been a night, and right now it's out of necessity, a nice replacement for the absence of Kevin Falk in that third down package.
Well, the Patriots defense obviously has been sporadic at best as far as gaining a pass rush. Cincinnati, they looked okay. The Jets, at times. But it's not good enough, and obviously we all know it's football one-on-one. You get a good pass rush, and it makes everybody, the secondary, play that much better. However, Vic, I must tell you, I mean, obviously Butler wasn't good. Arrington wasn't much better. I think McCourty is the real deal. I think he played Lee Evans pretty well. And Chung still is learning, but he can hit like a truck. I think they're going to be okay. I get upset with the piss-poor tackling I saw, particularly with Merriweather and Sanders at times, as I thought they were in position to make stops in that game, and they let the yards-after-catch stat was just ridiculous for the Buffalo Bills. I think that can be corrected, but those guys need to me, I can handle at times a young secondary getting burned a little bit. What I can't handle is guys who have been in the league now 3 years, 4 years, making piss-poor tackles like I saw on Sunday.
Well, and if that's really the core of the problem, beyond the again, young players will get older and even improve in the course of a season. And I'm in agreement that the talent is there generally. And a guy like McCourty, I think, is going to have a nice career. But I also think that part of it is acceptable, as you say, because it's youth and learning. But tackling and the fundamental stuff that you're addressing, if that's out of whack and 3 games into the year, you've got an issue with that. That could be something that you certainly aren't going to worry about in terms of the big picture, because it won't get any easier when Brandon Marshall is catching the ball and nobody's tackling him downfield, or Ricky Williams or Ronnie Brown have the ball in their hands. Those guys are going to take it pretty far. They're going to take it the distance.
A guy like Brandon Marshall in this game, Vic, scares the bejesus out of me because he's not such a Randy Moss type of a threat, but he is exactly the kind of receiver that has given the Patriots fits the last year and 3 games so far.
Yes, he, big, strong, and I was in Miami Sunday night and just watching him in action. What an athlete. He's a guy who's got such a smooth stride. He runs really good routes. I don't know if he gets enough credit for being as good a route runner as he is for the, you think of tall, athletic, talent guys that just say, okay, they get by on their skill, but there's a discipline to how he attacks his routes and does stuff. He really, to me, looks like a player that can beat you in so many different ways. And I don't know the extent to which the offense coordinator is going to, Dan Henning is going to put him in positions but what I'm saying is you can do more than just line this guy out wide. You can put him in a lot of different spots. You can use him almost like a tight end in addition to being a receiver. And then you look at the other people that they have, like Hardline and others in that offense. That just additionally opens things up for Brandon Marshall.
No, I agree. And I think, to me, the key match of this whole thing, to me, might be the battle of the tight ends on both sides. Because Fasano, you know, has killed the Patriots in the past. And I don't know if the Dolphins can stop Hernandez and Gronkowski. So whoever wins that tight end battle might very well win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you the whole way on that, Pete. And I've known, of course, Rob Gronkowski since he was a young kid because he went to school with my younger daughter. And so I watched him grow and develop as an athlete.
Wow.
I know the passion. I mean, he spent time at my house as a kid. I know the passion that he has as a player. He is all heart. He is all about the playing this game and loving this game. And you see now, and I see now as a grown, well, he's still a kid to me, but I mean, as a grown athlete, he is a guy who combines the best of what you want as a tight end, the strength, the athleticism, and the know-how, because he'll put the work in to get there. And then Aaron Hernandez, such a natural athlete. I love how they put him in motion. I love how he'll always gain the respect of the defense, of the safety, that he can pull out of position just so quickly because they have to account for this guy, and you can't account for everybody. So when they go in those multiple receiver / tight end sets, I don't think a defense can have an answer. And if I'm the Patriots, I'm running that a lot. I know Tom Brady said he doesn't want to get too reliant on people who've only played a few NFL games, but guess what? He's got to be reliant on them.
Well, I'm sure you watched Hard Knocks during the year. Am I correct? At some point?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, and I remember the last two episodes is when Danny Woodhead was featured a lot, and all I kept saying to myself was, please let Rex Ryan cut this guy and somehow Bill Belichick pick this guy up. That guy, you know, you can't see him, but, man, he is all heart. He's not going to replace Kevin Falk. We all know that. But he can do – he can help this team do some different things. He's one of the interesting stories of the year so far. I'm so glad they were able to pick this kid up. I was telling people about him last week. If you didn't get to see him on Hard Knocks, you'd have no idea. He went to some dinky Division II school that has about 500 kids in it in Nebraska that nobody knows about. And here he is scoring his first touchdown this season. It's a tremendous story.
It's a tremendous story. He's smart. He's all heart. He falls in the line of that mentality I was describing with Gronkowski, but in a much smaller package. But yeah, in a third down capacity, there's a lot of thinking to that. The role isn't as defined as that of a great, you know, the first down guy or the primary lead back. Is a fast runner, is a probably a better overall athlete. Your third down player gets by on guile. He knows what he's supposed to be doing. He knows how to move the chains. He's finding those spots that maybe other players don't have the savvy to do. And I think as a young player, Woodhead is maybe that type of guy. Of course, you worry about how small he is, the beating he takes. But you see how a Wes Welker can survive. Little guys can survive in this game, but they do take a beating.
So I think we both agree. I want to ask you, if you want, you can give me a score. What do you think? Who do you think wins this game on Monday night? Before I got a couple questions to ask you about the league in general afterwards, but who do you think wins this Patriot-Miami game in Miami at the beautiful Sun Life Stadium?
It is something. Hey, if you ever go down there, go into the Live nightclub that they started down there. $800 a head.
That's it? All right. Yeah. Well, I'll tell them I know you. They'll let me right in, right?
Oh, no, you'll get booted right out of the parking lot. But no, Pete, I'll say this. I think this is a close game. game. I think it's going to be very closely contested. I'm leaning in the direction of thinking the Dolphins might win this one because I'm very concerned about what I saw from that Patriot defense, and I think the points you just made about the tackling bothered me too. That just shouldn't have been. That was an inept, I think, Buffalo offense that had an easy time and could have put the Bills easily in position to win a ball game if the Bills had more talent overall. And I look at the Miami Dolphins, and I saw Chad Henne have a breakthrough type of night. I see that we just talked about the kind of player that Brandon Marshall is, the backs they have. And look, their defense might not be great, but it's pretty good. And it did a number on the Vikings in Minnesota. It did a number on Buffalo in Buffalo. I'm going to say right now it's another close game, and I'll give the edge to Miami.
Okay, that's a very good analysis. I think a lot of people agree. The two quick questions before I let you go, and thanks so much for joining me. One, I want to ask you about Bill Polian's comments about the 18-game schedule, and I know there's going to be a little mini-meeting in Washington, or there is one going on in Washington, D.C. today. Do you think this gets done? I mean, not tomorrow, but eventually, do you think it gets done?
Well, you mean the CBA or just the schedule?
Well, it's just the schedule. I mean, there's a lot to consider with the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing in general.
I think the schedule is part and parcel to the whole thing, the CBA ultimately getting done. I think that's why it's brought up in this context, because a lot of people I've spoken with who are very close to, and including one who's directly involved in the labor talks, tells me that's the, for sake of a better term, ace in the hole that the owners feel they have that will generate more revenue from the television networks and ultimately give the players what they're looking for or keep them satisfied financially. So it does get done because, A, the owners want it to be done, and that's the biggest part of it, and, B, now they're going to take the first step in selling it financially to the players. Before today, and I don't know exactly what's being talked about in a private meeting there, but I'm speculating that before today, the financial parameters weren't in the mix. It was mostly about we're going to add two games, and I think it was presumed that there'd be more money involved. I think today was the beginning of the conversation of the brass tacks of, okay, what do we get for this as players? And I think that's going to hopefully move the needle eventually.
Well, and not only that, Vic, too, as you know, I'm sure you pointed out, and many people on the NFL Network, Chris Mortensen on ESPN, a big part of this whole thing is also going to be, I don't think people realize the average career span of an NFL player is under 4 years. It's around 3.6. So, I mean, medical benefits and post-career medical insurance is probably going to be a huge factor in this whole thing if two extra games are being added, I would think.
I mean, I think you can build from the added wear and tear all the sort of obvious concerns that labor is going to have from this, and it's greater compensation for playing two more games that count versus those being preseason games as they are now. Still talking a 20 game package, and two, the post career concerns, as you put it, like the lingering effects of wear, tear of body. Yeah, so if it's incorporated and all that, I think they're talking a language that the players are gonna like.
One quick question, one game this week I think is going to be intriguing. Everyone's going to be talking about it, is Michael Vick versus Donovan McNabb. I mean, Michael Vick, I must tell you, you've known my thoughts on him for years. I think you've shared some of them, but he has surprised the hell out of me the way he has played so far. I think Andy Reid made the right decision. Eventually, is it possible, you know, to have Cobb a quarterback than not have him? And I heard your thoughts last week over on radio station, on EEI. But, you know, has Michael Vick even exceeded your expectations? And how intriguing is this matchup going to be? And I don't even, maybe you're there on Sunday, I don't know, but that's one game I want to see somehow.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be in Pittsburgh for Ravens and Steelers, another good one. But I do think the Michael Vick story is really something special because, number one, we know about the decision that Andy made. But I think the bigger part of the story with regard to Vic and the Eagles is that he is a better quarterback now for this team, I think, than he ever was, even in his best years in Atlanta, where at one point I believe they made him the highest paid player in the game because of how dynamic a talent he was. But the biggest difference is he's being coached now by two of the better quarterbacking mentors in the game, in Reed and offensive coordinator Marty Morningwick. They have shown this guy how to be patient. They've shown this guy how to make his reads They've given him the discipline to understand that offense, the progression of that West Coast style offense, which was something he really didn't have a good handle on beforehand. And I spent some time with him and those coaches in the mini camp area in June, and I could see then, seeing Kevin Cobb practice and seeing Michael Vick practice, that Vick was by far the better quarterback on the field, and I think the coaches knew it. They were talking it up. I thought they were talking it up just to help sell trading Vick or something. I kept saying, well, why are you guys trying to sell me Michael Vick right now? And now we know why. They really believed that he was the better guy, and I don't know that they've given up completely on Cobb, although it's going to be hard to ever think of going back to him, because Vic's a younger guy now. You know, he's not an old guy, and I think if this continues the way they hope it will, Michael Vick's got several years as a starter in Philadelphia.
And he's got to be if he goes back and watches some of his old film with the Falcons and then looks at what he's done the last couple of weeks, he must want to, you know, kick himself in the head if he can do that. You know, I don't know how many times. I mean, this is the guy that we thought he might develop into, you know, over the years.
And you and I had this conversation before.
Many times.
What is the story here? What he was in Atlanta was a guy who still, and I'm not saying, you know, it was terrible coaching there, but I think what he lacked was the guidance that he has now, to the extent that your first thought can't be to run, and they couldn't get that through to him. However, I can't begin to explain to you how Reed and Morningwood got through to him, but they have. Maybe there's something also to be said for a guy who got away from football for a couple of years, again, in a whole new environment, a change of scenery there, however they present it to him, they're presenting it in a way that he clearly is listening. And if it sustains itself, the sky's the limit, because that arm is unbelievable. He throws it on a rope like very few quarterbacks can, and when he does decide to tuck it and run, he can run like almost no quarterback can.
Vic, thank you so much, my friend, for joining me. I mean, it really means a lot taking time out from your day. Enjoy the great state of Pennsylvania and the Pittsburgh area. And I hope you join me again at some other point during the season. It was a pleasure to have you on once again. And best of luck, and I hope your family's doing great, and so are you.
Well, same to you and yours, Pete, and I'd be happy to join you down the line, bud.
Thanks, Vic. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Vic Carucci from the NFL Network, one of the great, truly great guys in this business, and one hell of a cigar smoker as well. Likes fine wine at times, and he's just a tremendous guy. One of my favorite people I've ever met in this business. Great guy. So thanks, Vic, and your perspective. Again, I'll tell you what, almost time to the end of the show, so we got to make my picks here. I'm not going to take a break. We're just going to make my picks. I'll tell you what, I got some. This is going to be an interesting week. I'll say the Patriots-Miami one for last. Last week, I think it went 9-7, right? 9-7 last week, all right? I have all sorts of analysis that I will not bore you with the picks this week. Let's start. First of all, at Tennessee, they are favored by 6.5 over Denver. Vince Young is born again. I never thought they would kick the Giants' ass like they did on Sunday. I thought the Giants coming off a humiliating loss at Indy would, you know, show some guts. I mean, they're down early 10-0, and they tied it at 10. Then they get blown out in the second half by Vince Young. Denver, you know, with a banged-up Colts team last week at home, can't beat the Colts. Now they travel to Tennessee. This is a tough game. This is a tough game to call. 6.5 points to Tennessee. But I'm going to take the Titans. I'm going to lay the 6.5 and take the Titans in this one. Vic Carucci's attending Pittsburgh and Baltimore. It's in Pittsburgh. Steelers by 1.5. This is always a battle. But I think the Steelers' good fortune comes to an end here at home. This is the game where not having Roethlisberger, I think, catches up with them. Charlie Batch threw some balls last week that I don't know how they were not intercepted in Tampa. Many of them were actually caught for touchdowns. Not sure what that was all about. But Charlie Batch and the Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0. I think the Ravens pull this one out. I think the quarterback here makes all the difference in the world. Charlie Batch against this Baltimore defense, I don't like it. I don't care where they're playing. I'll take Baltimore in this one. Take the 1.5. I'll take Baltimore. The Cleveland Indians. Cleveland Indians. Cleveland Browns at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the underdog Browns are at home getting 3.
Yeah, they'll be a half.
Exactly. Exactly. Cincinnati is a 3-point favorite at Cleveland. They had a big win last week at Carolina. But I'm going to go with the Browns here. Don't ask me why. I just have a feeling they're home getting 3. I'm taking the Browns. You got a feeling about it.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Thank you very much. Again, here's a big line. Green Bay favored by 14.5 against Detroit. Detroit, God, you feel so bad for them. They are so close. They are 1 and 2 plays away every game, it seems, from winning a couple of these things. They just can't seem to get it done. At Green Bay. I wish I knew who Green Bay was playing next week because this could be a big trap game. Maybe Jay can tell me real quick. No, he doesn't have to. You don't have to worry about it. Green Bay. I mean, they blew out Buffalo. But is Detroit as bad as Buffalo? I'm not sure about that. 14.5 points still seems like a lot to me. Seems like backdoor cover written all over it again, much like last week. I got to take Detroit in this one. I'm taking the points with this one. Detroit starts off as over two touchdown lead. I'll take Detroit in this one. New Orleans, home against Carolina. Saints have got to be ticked after that game against Atlanta last week, although I thought the Falcons would win. That's one of the teams I thought would cover, and they did. They won the game outright. I think New Orleans blows Carolina to smithereens. That's one line I'm laying. 13.5 at New Orleans. They're going to blow Carolina out. I lay the points there. Next up, Atlanta, 7-point favorite at home against San Francisco. They're bumbling, stumbling, and they're crumbling right before our very eyes, Mike Singletary. Right before your very eyes, the 49ers are going down the toilet. A team that some thought would make the playoffs this year. I did not. I don't like Alex Smith. I like the Falcons, Matt Ryan, San Fran. They played New Orleans tough a couple weeks ago, but not this time, no. I'll take the Falcons. Lay the 7 against San Fran. The Packers play at Washington? Washington stinks, though, so this can't be a trap. This won't be a trap game.
Yeah, it's at Washington.
At Washington, but they'll still beat them there, I think. That's next week. Next up, we got Seattle, -1 at St. Louis. This is a very interesting game. Pete Carroll, I thought they'd play San Diego tough last week, and they did at St. Louis. This is a very tough game to call. And I'm going to go with the Rams again as they go on their first 2-game winning streak in a decade. No, that's not true, but I just made that up. But we'll just see. I like the Rams in this one. Rams at home getting a point.
We like to have fun.
The Jets are 5-point favorites at Buffalo. And I look at it saying only 5. Buffalo stinks. Somehow, some way, I'm wondering if the Bills can get it together here. They are a desperate team. This is their season. That's the only thing. This is their season. The Buffalo Bills season is on the line. Jets traveling after Sunday night. Not that far, though. Just up the state of peace. Not that bad. Call me nuts. I'm taking the Bills plus the 5 here. I'm going to take the Bills plus the 5. I'm going to get a snack in a minute. I'm hungry. One of the Davios up the street and have a nice big snack.
Let's go to eat a goddamn.
That's right. I'm going to Patriot Place. I'm going to Davios to eat. So get ready, Steve, because I'm coming. So I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. Call me crazy. Let's get kooky. I'm taking the Bills plus the 5 to keep it close against the Jets, who will probably treat this game like a scrimmage. Indianapolis, on the road at Jacksonville. Indy, -7.5. Indy, 7.5-point dog on the road at Jacksonville. I'm going to take the Jaguars in this one. Again, another game. They just got Trent Edwards. They're motivated. They are motivated, baby. Trent Edwards is going to be a jolt to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've played Indy tough, fairly tough over the years. They start off with a 7.5-point lead. I like the Jags in this one. Houston, -3 at the Raiders. I don't know how the Raiders kept it close last week against Arizona, but they did. This will not be close. Houston will crush the Oakland Raiders in Oakland. Dallas manhandled them last week for the most part, particularly on defense. So they'll be upset. They'll come back fighting. I like the Texans in this one. That could be the soft line of the week right there. Houston -3 at Oakland. I mean, I'd jump on that now, folks, if you can, for the jelly beans. At San Diego, Arizona will go. Chargers are -8. They've got to be upset by what happened last week against Seattle. They have to be upset. San Diego is a desperate team as well. Not too desperate, but semi-desperate. 8 points, though. It's Arizona team. Hard to figure out. I'm going with the Chargers here. Lay the 8. I'll take the Chargers. Diego, I hate that song. Hate that song. It reminds me of those of you who remember Multiplication Rock, all that stuff, with If You Skate, A Figure Eight, all that stuff that was in the late 70s, early 80s.
The old Schoolhouse Rock
old
stuff.
Old Schoolhouse Rock. And remember, there's a guy called Verb. Big, big husky African-American gentleman with a big orange suit on and a big V.
I remember Verb. Conjunction, Junction,
oh, yeah,
What's
course,
Your
of
Function.
Of course, fantastic stuff. You know, it's all, you know, we all grew up with that. But the Verb guy, they used to, there's a very similar song to it about the San Diego Superchargers song. That's what Jason tried to find it. But that always reminded me of the Verb guy. Next up, Philadelphia at Philly against Washington. Game we talked about all day. Not all day, but at the end of the day. Eagles are minus six at home against Washington. Donovan McNabb versus Michael Vick. I think this is all Eagles. I think Washington's terrible. I have no faith in the Redskins at all. I know Donovan will be pumped up for a little while, but I think he's going to get killed in this game. And I like the Eagles and Michael Vick big against the Washington Redskins. Giants are home. 4-point favorites against the Chicago Bears. I don't know if the Giants could beat the Bad News Bears right now the way they're playing. I'm not sure about that. I got to go with the Bears here. And I hate Cutler. I got to go with the Bears.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
They are who they thought. By the way, how about my boy Kyle Orton for Denver? Everybody laughed at me. Should have won that game. Should have won that game. But I like the Bears. Plus the four at the Giants. And finally, Monday Night Football. Right now, the Patriots are favored by one over the Miami Dolphins. The entire nation, Vic Carucci included, many of the PFW guys, many of your Boston Herald, Providence Journal, Boston Globe people are picking Miami. You know Borges hopes that the Patriots lose 150-0. Will it happen? My answer is no. After dissecting and analyzing for the last 2 days, and if the injury report, which we don't know until tomorrow, but stays fairly the same as it's been last week, I gotta believe the Patriots offense will prevail in what is going to be an incredible shootout. An incredible shootout. Your New England Patriots will score 6 touchdowns to Miami's 5 and win this game 42-35. Your New England Patriots will improve to 3-1 in what I anticipate to be the most entertaining game of the year thus far.
Yeah!
So there you have it. 42-35 Patriots back and forth, up and down the field we go. Of course, he finds the Verb song. We're going to close the show. We're going to go out to the... Oh, yeah.
Verb! Verb!
See? This was music, man. You're like seven, eight, 9 years old. Like, this is like grooving. You gotta love Verb. You gotta love Verb. Oh, how can you not like Verb? See, the San Diego Charger is stolen from this song. I'm convinced of it. Gotta love Verb. My favorite Multiplication Rock guy, the Schoolhouse Rock guy of all time. See? Might be the same singer. Hey, that's gonna do it for this second edition of the Pete Shepard Show. Thanks to everybody today. Thanks again to Jesse Agler, thanks to Adam of the Finn Insider Radio Show. Thanks to Adam Schefter of ESPN for joining me, and also thanks to my special friend Vic Carucci from the NFL Network for joining me in the final half hour of the program as well. Until next week, we're going to do the show on Wednesday, right, Jason? We're going to do the show next week on Wednesday because the Patriots have a Monday night game, and they have all their Patriot Monday stuff with the radio station on Tuesday. So you'll hear from me next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. Final score for me this week, Patriots 42, Miami 35. Write it down. Thanks to Jason. You've been listening to the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. Have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. Bye-bye.
I can tell you when it's happening. Tell you more about what's happening.
Sorry,
I can tell you who is happening.
First, you're so intense.
Hey, every sentence has a subject.
Now, I'm perfect.
Carson Plate.